Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities in London. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. In this interview, I talk to Veronica Reynolds, Chief Operating Officer of Walk England.
Your Operations Director of Walk England, can you tell us a bit more what Walk England is?
We created Walk England about 18 months ago. The idea really was to create an organisation that could work alongside professionals who are promoting walking and bring them closer to the people who wanted to walk. It was born from a project that was funded by the Big Lottery to create an online portal and a website for walking professionals but also for walkers. But really we saw an opportunity to create an organisation that paralleled perhaps some of the work that Cycling England is doing, channeling funding to the best projects where possible. And we were encouraged by Department of Transport and Department of Health to set Walk England up as a social enterprise, as a transparent non-profit organisation that could really start to sort of strategically work to deliver and add value to walking projects.
So when you're talking about walking projects, what are they? Are they recreational or are they...?
As we try to work across all the sectors, whether that's for transport, for health, for leisure, recreation, even, you know, children walking to school. If it's got walking in it, we're interested in it and we want to share that and tell people about it. And as much as anything, I guess we want to be a voice for walking in England that brings together all those different walking agendas. And there are lots of walking organisations out there, but they have quite specific agendas, or, you know, they're charities or membership organisations, and we just wanted something that was non-denominational that would represent walking across the board.
How many people are involved in Walk England itself at the moment?
There's just three of us at the moment, but we're just about to deliver quite a large project for the Department of Health that will mean it will start to grow. But we're very keen to keep it a small and lean organisation, working in partnership with the other organisations.
Okay, now we better introduce listeners to these two.
This is Beans.
Beans.
She's his daughter. This is Sparky. He's a Jack Russell. And she's his daughter. And he's getting old now, so we thought we'd better have one to carry on the lineage. Beans, come on, enough.
You mentioned that you're just about to embark on a project which is funded. Is it funded through the Department of Health?
Yeah, we've been funded by the Department of Health to deliver a project called Active Challenge Routes, which is part of the policy that came out last year called Be Active, Be Healthy, whereby the Department of Health has given its commitment to deliver 1 million people more active by 2012. Now, there's a target for Sport England to deliver 1 million people more active, and Department of Health has got a physical activity target of 1 million, and we've been asked to deliver past that target with this project called Active Challenge Routes.
So what do they entail?
Well, the Active Challenge Routes project, and there's a bit of history here, and it's important to understand where it came from, I guess. When I first started doing health walks work, and we'll talk about that later on, locally here with Dr. William Bird, every year we used to put the health walkers through their paces and test their fitness using something called the Rockport 1 mile fitness test, which is quite a well-validated and robust measure of fitness. And the idea of the test is that you walk a mile as fast as you comfortably can, and you record your time and your pulse rate, your heart rate at the end of that, and you input that into a formula which then gives you a score, which is an estimate of your aerobic capacity or aerobic fitness. And we used to do this with the health walkers every year, and lo and behold, the more they walked on health walks, the more they improved. So that was the rationale behind trying to introduce this on a larger scale. So the idea of the project is we'll create waymarked or mapped out 1 mile routes across the country that people can go and perform this test on, and then record their data either as a pen and paper exercise or by inputting their data into an online portal that will then give them a score and give them feedback. The online part of it is quite significant in that it will enable people to get feedback and create an activity log of everything that they do, and also find out about other walking opportunities in their area. But it also enables people to sort of compete against themselves or against each other or against communities against each other. So looking at collective fitness of a community or a school or a village or a health walk group compared to another one. And we're hoping that this project will be delivered and take on board the sort of festival effect of 2012. So there'll be quite a big PR campaign involving Olympic athletes to sort of try and get people to think about their fitness and their activity levels as part of that sort of wave of enthusiasm around fitness and health that goes with the 2012 Games.
With the active challenge routes, how many are you going to try and designate?
Well, we'd like to have 2012 routes across the country between now and 2012. Now, we recognise we probably won't get 2012 signed waymarked routes on the ground, but we would like 2012 routes on a database on the online portal that are actually digitally available on a postcode searchable database based on an open source maps application, so people can actually input their postcode, find out where the nearest route is to them. If there's not one there, they could actually go out and create their own. And the criteria for a route is fairly straightforward. It needs to be flat and fairly unencumbered with a good surface. And the idea of that is that you need to walk as fast as you comfortably can, so you don't want to be stopping at crossroads. And the reason for that, again, is that you need to get your body to a stage where you're at something called steady state, where your heart rate is steady at a particular rate in order to be able to monitor this fitness test.
Your Walk England, so is this 2012 routes in England?
It is England alone. The policy is, obviously, it's Department of Health, which is England, although we're hoping that it would be lovely to see this implemented elsewhere.
Let's take a fairly chunky-sized town like Reading. How many one-mile routes would you need to have designated or identified in Reading to be the quota for 2012 across England?
2012 was obviously a bit of a gimmicky number to come up with, but it was
I can't think why they thought of that.
No, but it was really to do with the number of GP practices, because we hope one of the ways this is going to be promoted is through the forthcoming physical activity care pathway, and GPs actually going out and saying to patients, go out and try and walk a mile in 20 minutes, and if you can't do it in 20 minutes, keep doing it until you can. Certainly our target audience are people who are most sedentary. Those people who can't currently walk the mile in 20 minutes, just getting to that stage would have huge benefits. So there's a very simple message there around this. And then there's a sort of slightly more complex element of actually recording a fitness score. Obviously, we want to prioritise those areas of health inequality where there's a prevalence of sedentary people or people who have the most to gain from being more active.
I'm interested in the active challenge routes because just earlier on this week I was at Lewisham Hospital and they were talking about how their site adjoins an area of public green space. I imagine one could easily designate a route that included a walk around the hospital plus a walk around the adjacent green space, and that might make a circular 1 mile walk, and that would be very clever because you could then get patients who are at the hospital, all the visitors, outpatients, and maybe all the staff going out for these walks. Is that something that you've thought of?
Yes, absolutely, and I think, you know, it's looking for those opportunities where the routes link very naturally. And our targets aren't around getting people to record their fitness score. It's about a catalyst, and the 1 mile might therefore be part of a longer 3 mile route whereby you say to people, here's your mile to take your test on, but if you want to improve your fitness, here's another route that links into it on which you should walk regularly in order to improve your fitness and therefore shift to a greater level of physical activity.
Are you going to try and get GPs themselves to nominate routes, or are you going to go to the local authorities and ask them to nominate routes?
There will be a mass publicity campaign, and I think a large proportion of the routes will be user generated by individuals who are just interested, who may choose to share their own personal route online with others. We'll also be working in partnership with some of the key organisations who are already delivering walking, like Walking for Health. Now, there are 525 Walking for Health schemes in England, and we hope that all of those will create a route for their scheme, which they can then encourage their users to go and test their fitness on. What we really want to do now is engage with the people who aren't involved with any of those projects. They may be the people who are the most visible initially with the project, and eventually we'll hope that there'll be a sort of cultural trickling down to the most inactive, who will then see these routes and be prompted by the campaign to actually go out and test themselves and see how they do sort of measure up against the population. And I think there is an innate curiosity in a lot of people to find out how fit or unfit they are, even if they don't choose to sort of record that formally. They may well just see the signs and just, you know, think, well, I'll just time myself and see how long it does take me to walk a mile. And that's, I guess, one of the other benefits of the project, is it starts to challenge and make people appreciate what a mile feels like and how long it takes them to walk a mile. And a lot of people don't walk places because they have no idea how long it might take them to get there or whether they're capable of doing that. So that's another side effect, as it were, of the project, is that the prompts will be there, the campaign will be there, there'll be leaflets in GP surgeries, there'll be leaflets in community centres and libraries, there'll be an online presence and probably some viral marketing online, that people will be aware of this and hopefully will be curious enough to at least go and try it. And it may just have an impact on making them think about where they're at. A bit like pedometers did, you know, a year or so ago, everybody was using pedometers and shocked at the fact they were only doing 3,000 steps a day when they were all being told they should be doing 10,000. It just makes people think about how little they're doing or how unfit they are compared to the population average. I think the inter-community challenges could be a really big part of this, and certainly inter-school challenges as well, where you get whole schools or colleges actually comparing their collective fitness.
You'd get a lot of enthusiastic people to try and support children and their parents walking the mile to school. At the moment, all the national figures reveal that most children don't walk anything like as far as that.
Exactly, and I think that's the other thing. If we can get those routes on, say, key walk-to-school routes, and again, working in partnership with school travel planners and walk-to-school coordinators, geez, we're hoping that those routes will be prioritised.
Well, I was going to say, the classic for me is the National Cycle Network. A large proportion of it is dedicated off-road routes which are of very good condition, very level, good underfoot. And they're not populated that much by cyclists. They're probably populated as much by pedestrians or walkers
absolutely.
Anyway.
Absolutely, and those routes obviously lend themselves to this. And we've had some experience of doing similar things, and I have personally with Walking for Health schemes, where we signed the seafront in Brighton with half-mile markers. So, you know, some of this work is already done. And anyway, as I say, you don't necessarily have to put up signs everywhere. If you can go online and figure out that a one-mile route is around the park from the bandstand to the duck pond and back again, then that's good enough. The test is tolerant enough for that sort of level of detail to not be completely accurate. And anyway, it's about benchmarking where you're at personally, individually, and comparing against that benchmark.
You've mentioned twice the Walking for Health initiative, and we're right in the epicentre of health walk.
We're in the birthplace of walking for health, and I guess this comes with walking.
Yeah, how
and,
did you?
And
I meant to ask the question.
And really what happened was that I lived in this village in Goring, and I was an aerobics instructor many, many years ago. And I recognised that most of the people who I thought needed to exercise wouldn't come anywhere near any of my classes. And I started doing a bit of personal training, and the only thing really that was suitable for a lot of the people who really needed to exercise was walking. So I became a walking instructor. I took a few sort of exams of something called Reebok Body Walk many years ago, and I started using walking as a way to get people more active and fitter and healthier. It was very successful, and I thought there's more to this than I realised. And at the time, Dr. William Bird was just starting something called Health Walks in Sonning. And I went to meet with him and said, I think this is a great idea. I want to do something like this in Goring. We got our local GP on board here in Goring. He said, great, you know, you can use the surgery for meetings and get some interest together from local people. And I said, I don't want to charge. I want to make this freely available to everybody. I want to create a club because, to be honest, I can't meet the demand from people who want to come on walks with me. And so we created the first Health Walk group, and we started with a group of, I think, 5 volunteer walk leaders, and I think now in Goring there's 26 volunteer walk leaders. They've just celebrated their 10th birthday, and I think nearly 10% of this local population has walked with that group at some point, and there's still 5 walks a week attended by anything 40 to 50 people upwards every week that go out 3-4 times a week. So it's a hugely successful local scheme. The Sonning scheme, the Goring scheme, then attracted a lot of interest from the Countryside Commission and British Heart Foundation, and they funded the creation of a national scheme called Walking the Way to Health, which has been going also for nearly 10 years. Now there are more than 500 schemes across the country, with, it's estimated, about 100,000 walkers who walk every week with those schemes. Probably more, but they're just still doing the counting on that. And I was involved with that scheme in that I, my previous job was, or 2 jobs ago, was actually the regional case officer for Walking for Health in the South East, actually helping people set up schemes. And one of my areas of work within that, at a national level, was to look at the evaluation and how we actually measured the impact of Walking for Health. And I've carried on being involved with that until just recently. And then I also became involved with training the volunteers. So Walking for Health is sort of very much a part of me, and although I don't work for them anymore directly, I would like to work in partnership with Walking and Walking for Health and see where we can add value to that project, because it's a project I feel very passionate about and always will do, I think. having sort of been there at the beginning.
The Walking for Health initiative. And that's still going on then?
Yeah, that's just been given quite a large sum of money to expand, fourfold expansion they've planned of that project. And that's really a testimony to how successful that's been over the years. As much as anything, they've started gathering really good evidence now. They've got a very good evaluation methodology. Primary Care Trust had only funded this where it was part of an evaluated, a robustly evaluated scheme. And the evaluation methodology that Walking for Health has now got in place means that that can actually be considered for funding by a primary care trust. So it's been quite an important strategic step change, really. There's been a huge increase in demand for training for trainers, for volunteer walk leaders, just in the last few months. So primary care trusts are clearly starting to invest more in this agenda, mainly because it's very low cost. So where they've got very costly GP referral schemes, they're looking at those and thinking, we could deliver the same thing with a Walking for Health scheme, which is much lower cost. Real sort of surge in interest in Walking for Health recently.
The 2012 route, the target there, the priority is looking at those people who have health inequalities.
Whilst health inequalities is one of our agendas and targets and has to be, the main driving force behind Be Active, Be Healthy is the sedentary population. In any population, you can pretty much assume it's somewhere near 50 to 60% of people are inactive. So wherever you've got a route, 50% of the audience that live around that route are our target audience. More and more people coming on our walks here now live alone, bereaved, lonely people who gain a huge amount from coming on the walks. And the local GPs certainly say to us it keeps them out of the surgery.
This time in 3 years' time, I think we'll have just be winding down from the Olympics. What's your vision? Walk England will have achieved by that time. And what will England look like?
Well, I'd like to think that we will have 2012 routes, at least 1,000 of those waymarked. You know, in terms of people who we can demonstrate have benefited from this, I'd like to think that a minimum of 10,000 people have actually shifted from being inactive to being active at least 3 times 30. And therefore, you know, will really start to pay the dividends and sustain that level of activity. I think that's crucial as well.
You're saying 10,000 from completely sedentary, but you're looking for 1 million people to be
more active. We'd like 1 million people to be more active, but the ones that we can actually demonstrate and show by fairly robust evaluation that they have shifted their activity levels and sustained those, we'd like to say 10,000 people have done that. Now, it doesn't sound an awful lot for 2,000 routes, but in terms of cost-benefit, it works out at a few pounds per person for a potential saving in the health burden that they may actually bring with them if they don't become more active. Now, clearly, we hope that more than 1 million people will have gone out there and be influenced by this and tried the routes, and the routes will be visible and be recognised then as part of their community toolkit of activity opportunities. We need to get people thinking about what this means. Actually, being more active is about becoming fitter and all of that feel-good that comes with being more, you know, able to do things more easily, about feeling healthier.
I personally just, only get to the gym under duress, and that I've started doing Tai Chi, and it's about as anaerobic as possible, so I'm just not into the sort of fitness thing.
But I guess the problem with walking is that people for a long time haven't perceived it to be something that is valid exercise. They don't think it's enough to get you fit or to lose weight or, you know, to improve your health in any way. That's been irrefutably demonstrated recently, and something that I would always argue against. I co-authored a book with Dr. William Bird called Walking for Health and Happiness, and that's very much about looking at walking as a lifestyle fitness program, which it can be, and all you need to do is add a hill or add an uneven terrain or pick up the speed or swing your arms a bit more. And for most people, even quite fit athletes, walking can be a very valid form of exercise. And in fact, the vast majority of our population, if they just got out and walked at 3 miles an hour, and 3 miles an hour is all it takes for a lot of people to get an aerobic training effect, they would actually get more benefit than going to the gym. And that's something that we really need to try and communicate to people and try and move people away from this perception that you have to really go out there and sweat and get very uncomfortable to get fit and healthy.
What other catalysts do you think are out there that are going to change the way people get about and do more walking?
One of the barriers we know to people walking is people are worried about getting lost, don't know where they are, and this perception of time and distance is a real issue. And I think one of the things that's going to change that is the new mobile phone technologies. Things like having GPS on your mobile phone, which an increasing number of mobile phones now have, and the fact that you can, in the palm of your hand, produce a map showing your exact location and giving you walking directions between places, will encourage people to walk more. It is about providing better information. We know that good walking maps do have an impact on people walking. It's been shown with projects like Legible London. But we also know that a lot of people don't like to be seen looking at a map or unfolding a map, whereas looking at your mobile phone somehow is more acceptable. So that's one aspect, and one way I think mobile phones and the new technologies will influence walking. That and the ability to record the walking you do. On my phone, I've got an application on there whereby at the touch of a button, it will have tracked my walk today and will record how long it took me, my speed, the time, the distance, and actually show that walk on a map. And then it will automatically upload it to my desktop at home and keep a log of all the walking I've done. Now, I find that hugely motivational. I look at it and think, oh, well, I haven't done enough this week. I need to go out and do 3 miles or 4 miles today to compensate for the fact I haven't done enough earlier in the week. And I set myself a target every week of trying to do about 20 miles minimum a week. And I find that a massively motivational tool. And it does make a big difference to how much I walk or how fast I walk as well. It also gives me the number of calories I've burned. My phone is also a pedometer. It has a sensor in it that records my steps. So it becomes my own little personal trainer, and I think there's massive applications for the mobile phones. And certainly with the active challenge routes, the new phones will make a big difference.
Can you recommend some walks? And what I sort of get the feel is that you're almost instantly going to suggest an active challenge route.
You see, for me, the walk we're just doing now is one of my regular walks, and it's a circuit that comes out of Goring Village along the farm track and then back along the river. It's about 3.2 miles in total, which I can do in an hour comfortably. I can do it in my lunchtime, I can do it before I start work in the morning. I like it because it's got a viewpoint halfway round. It's well maintained, the surfaces are good, it doesn't get too muddy in the winter, so it's fairly good all year round. It's got lovely views. And actually, there is, within this walk, a half a mile flat, even surface along that route on which I can really push myself. And I could ultimately do a Rockport 1 mile test if I wanted to. And in fact, I have done on several occasions on that particular part of the route. So yes, it is an active challenge route, and it will be one of the first that we will designate, I'm sure, as an active challenge route. And I will do it regularly, I'm sure, and time myself and take my pulse rate while I'm doing it.
So Beans and Sparky accompany you every time you do that walk?
Pretty much every time. The dogs are a great way of getting me out and making me feel guilty if I don't get out. But I do try and walk every day.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities in London. In this episode, you've heard from Veronica Reynolds. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we would love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the talkingwalking.net website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities, our graphic artwork was designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music was composed and recorded by Simon Sanders at Easytronic.